crash a Lambo like a demon. Mama know that I stay reckless. Can't get surprised with my Glock 9. It's on my hip, you know I blow it. It's on my mind when I'm outside. The OG's hoping I don't show it. Put my dog inside the pit, cause once you out, we f***ing over. Looking out the Mercy Lago, see that engine, bet I blow it. Flexing, flexing, flexing. I woke up early as.
What are your core values?
So that's kind of a really, really open-ended, large question, right? But I'm going to start with this. So what I've talked to you guys about is the mind, body, spirit, right? Only the mind can heal the body, but only the spirit can heal the mind. That is my absolute foundation. You have to have your personal in line before you can even move into business. So what I'm talking about there is, you know, if you got your body up to par and you're training and you're dieting, you're eating well, you're going to feel better automatically. If your mind's clear, you're not tuning into the bullshit, you're not tuning into crap in life, and you're clear, you're going to be focused, right? When you're spiritually guided, God's going to provide you with all the blessings and opportunities you're going to have because you're just doing the right thing with them. So that's my core value, right? At the core, the core business values of life is what I've told you guys. It's pretty much undercommit, overdeliver. Master your craft. Have you done 10,000 hours in the craft that you're selling? Never overspend. Money management is huge. What makes me so deadly is that Harmonix, we're 100% debt-free company. We can bond large deals. And I don't believe in following trends. Like, you literally got to stick to what you're good at and what you bring to it. So it doesn't matter what, so say he's here for, you know, Silas, what he's doing, I'm not going to be worried about what Silas is doing. I'm going to stick to what I know I'm doing. So I think that's the big thing in life that most people get off. So the core value is sticking to yourself. Then I'm going to hit you with the last. Trust your gut. People call it the gut. I call it the Holy Spirit. If you think something's screwed up, don't do it. Like, really follow that internal voice. That's why it's so important to be in that mind, body, spirit connection.
What is your legacy in life? I guess the legacy you want to leave in your life.
My legacy, truthfully, is going to be in my children, right? I think at the end of the day, my legacy is going to be to raise two of the most monstrous boys in this world that surpass me, like, you know, like King David. And I think the thing for me is my legacy is I was firm but fair. And I always wanted to see everyone do well. I wanted to see the underdog make it. I mean, a guy like me who came from the country, small town, was able to do it, no limitations. I laugh and I say, you know what? I'm like, no limit records. I don't see no limitations. I think my legacy really is no limitations. And that's what I want to pass on to my children and my family, is that there is no limitations. What you set your mind to and knowing what your ability is going to make you unstoppable. That's really what it is for me. So, you know what, you're 5'4", possibly you being in the NBA is not going to be there, but doesn't mean you can't if you're just, your talent's just that next level. So it's really knowing your talents and mastering them and moving forward, but no limits, living no limits.
How do you deal with people who owe you cash and don't want to pay or make it a hassle?
You know what, they call me the collector. I'm really good at that. You know, I think I set really hard expectations. And the other thing is about it is, like, when you're dealing with commercial people and you're doing, that's why I don't like doing a lot of commercial business. But I think the thing with me is that I built a reputation of having iron jaws. You know that if you tangle with me in the water and you don't pay, I'm going to spend 7 times what you owe me to smash you. That's my reputation, right? So you're going to pay. I think for you guys starting off, always make sure if you're putting up materials, you make them pay those materials and pay at least 20% of your time. Then you're battling. You're not battling at a loss. You never want to collect a loss. At most, you want to collect profit, and maybe you're collecting a little bit of your time. But always collect your overhead and all that front, that percentage, whatever it is, and whatever's fair for them. And then always put things in writing, whether it's an email, a contract, they issue a purchase order, make sure you line out everything in plain English. So when you come, that's why I love McDonald's, right? You roll up, you get the number 2, you got 2 cheeseburgers, fries, and a Coke. That's it. You know that's what they're getting. So be very clear and concise in what you're selling, and that eliminates a lot of the drama. So really you're quoting, know how you quote, master that, and then follow that kind of that linear process, and then be in contact and deliver. And then make sure, you know, when you're going to deliver, say, look, check on delivery. So I don't think you should be getting yourself involved in net terms if you can't front things. That's just stupid. It's going to cost you money.
With the general like perception of Albuquerque, you know, a lot of people say, we hear a lot at the studio, Albuquerque, I need to leave in order to succeed and stuff like that. You know, there's that misconception. So what would you say to the kids, like younger kids, maybe coming out of high school or in high school, who really believe that they can succeed in Albuquerque? Like, what would you say to them if they're sitting
there? So let me give you two ways, right? We have two of the greatest national laboratories in our state. Think about that in general. You have Intels, you have the harmonics, you have so many. It all depends what you want to do. Now, look, this is kind of tough, and you guys are sitting on this side, right? Is this really are you going to be able to sit here and be like, you know, I'm going to be the greatest producer in the world in music? Probably not. You're probably going to have to go to LA. You have to understand what you're going to do in success, right? If I said I'm going to be a marine biologist, are you going to stay in New Mexico? No, you got to go to the. You see, there's a lot of common sense, but there's a lot of money to be made here. You can be very successful, arguably the second best environment in the world, right? Four seasons, great weather. I mean, when can you go out on a February or even the late January and it was warm outside and wearing a t-shirt, right? I love the people. I love the food. I think that whole misconception of Albuquerque, I guess I've never seen it. I've been here now since 2003 and I love it. I love the people. People support me. I've never had that. You know, I think you got to tune out stupidity. I think the big thing is just tuning out stupidity. You can do what you want, but what I say is work hard in school, master that, and then know what you're going to do. If it's going to be accounting, I got a slew of successful individuals. One day, we're going to do a really fucking awesome podcast, and it's going to be the round table of success. We're going to call it the Bulls, and I'm going to bring you people that have leveled to levels to the next level. So I just saw the other day the statistic. We are 33rd or 32nd in multimillionaires in the union of all 50 states. That just tells you that right there. Los Alamos National Labs, the most PhDs per zip code in the world. Most millionaires. Corrales, second wealthiest village in the United States. It's second or third, right there with Grand Ridge, Connecticut. Yeah. Right? Santa Fe, New Mexico. Taos. Come on, guys. We got to stop shit-talking our state and bring it up. Let's level up, like, the volume, all right? So if you're sitting there with dumbasses talking about that, I don't know. I love it here. Look at the success I found with you guys. Look at the success the generals found with K-9 themselves right here. We got three successful, killing it individuals here that are inspiring me to do even better than ever. Come out here and really give you guys a good show and give you the advice. So I don't know what you guys are talking about. The success is right here.
And yeah, that's what, like, when I first came out here, I was thinking the same thing from Toronto. I'm like, bro, this is warm in February. Like, everything's cheap. Like, it was like looking at a gold mine away from me, you know, like coming from a big city. It's just, there's a lot more politics involved in business and everything too, you know, like it's just different.
But you make it here, you put me in a big city and I'm going to maul you.
Yeah.
No matter where I'm at. It's like, I think really Toronto, coming from my home area, I think it's really the weather. The weathers are so severe and so cold that it just makes us come like Vikings to take what's ours.
Yeah.
And so I think that at the end of the day, you can make whatever you want happen. You look at people that really succeed, there's no fucking excuse. The excuse is this: look, get off the drugs, get off the smoking pot, get off the drinking, get off the debauchery, get off all the stupid shit. Join a men's group, join a youth group, join a couples group, do something fucking positive. And if you do something positive, if you're planting great crops, you're going to get something one day, right? If you're fucking planting shit, you're going to get shit. And I mean, so take accountability in your own selves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's what's lost. I think people that they just can't, I don't know what it is, but they can't push themselves like over the edge to just get off of whatever's holding them back, like drugs or whatever. Like, you know, just
excuses. I call them excuses. You know,
yeah.
Just don't do it. You know, when you're kids and you get those drug things, just don't do it. It's not worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. PSA. That's a PSA. Yeah. Don't blame it on something that happened to you like when you're 10 years old and you're like 30 now. You know what I mean? Do you think aliens are real?
No, I don't know. I don't think so. So you got to take it from my perspective, right? I was born and raised Catholic. I'm a Christian, right? So I'm not really, in my beliefs, I don't believe in aliens. I do believe in angels. So, I mean, angels, good angels or bad angels can present themselves in any type of way they want. So that's my perspective, right? So if you got the bad angels coming down as looking as aliens, well, again, the demons can do what they want. So that's kind of my belief system. So it's just too far-fetched for me, right? And I'm also a mathematician, so I'm more of a logic thinker. So I don't, I'm like, yeah, that one's past my pay grade, boys. That's bad girls, you know, that's past my pay grade.
He's going to get a call from the Air Force. top five books?
Top five books I'm going to tell you is The Little Red Hen. I make everybody laugh. It's a child's book. Read The Little Red Hen and you're going to know immediately what life's about. I mean, it really sets the precedence. 21 Leadership Skills by Jack Welch. Amazing, right? The Art of War, Sun Tzu. I, per se, am more of a researcher, so I like to research. You're going to laugh your asses off. So I went up home. I just built the library. We're going to have to get this video. And I got Encyclopedia Britannica because that's what I used to read when I was a kid, right? There was no Google. I love history, so I like to read specifically on generals, certain facts of history. So it's not really a specific book, right? So when I want to get something, I'm going to read on that specific deal. And it might be excerpts or paragraphs or certain pieces. But I'm not per se just like I pick up a book and start from A to B. I'm never going to bullshit anybody. I'm more of a research kind of guy. But I can't leave one book out. The Bible. Read the Bible. I'm telling you right there. That is the manual of life. So if I had to reverse that, number one should be the Bible. Read that. That's going to be your manual of life right there.
Mm-hmm. Whether you're Christian or not, you're saying that the lessons are life lessons.
Exactly.
You know Gary Vee?
Gary what?
Gary Vee.
No.
He's like big in the entrepreneur world. So I want to know like your opinion on I'll give you like a little backstory too. Okay. So he gives people advice on like starting businesses and like growing businesses. But like a lot of things that he says, like I will find wrong. And I'll tell you why. Because what I see, like his advice doesn't apply to what we're doing. He inherited his parents' company at $5 million. And I think he grew it to like, I don't know, but he said like 90 million or something like that, right? Which is a hard task. But do you think there's a difference? And if so, what's the big difference between 0 to 1 million compared to like 1 million to 90?
There's a huge difference. I mean, there's a difference between 0 to 50,000 and 0 to 100,000.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've talked to a lot of professionals. The moment you save $50,000 in your savings account, there's a big difference just from my thought process. I'm telling you, you walk a little different. The moment you save $100,000, it's next level, right? My famous line is my life entirely changed. I remember when I had $150,000 in my bank account, and then I had $50,000 in my checking account and $4,000 in cash. It's never changed for me, right? That right there was the ultimate change. At that point, you feel secure. There's nothing you can do. The resources are deep. In the aspect of business, there's a very huge difference between growing a business from 0 to 1 million and 1 million above. From most perspectives, this. They're both hard. There are CEOs that are good from 1 to 5 million, and they're phenomenal, and those are going to be hard. But then there's CEOs that are good from 5 and up. So I think that's beautiful. That's kind of what I see in my life that I want for my sons is I took a company, and I've generated over $100 million in my life. I would like them to see maybe they'll take it to $1 billion. But I'm still here, baby. You know what I mean? I'm still young in the game, so I'm going to hit that billion. Maybe I'll take it to $3 billion. But there's a bit, it's always great. I think those stories, I sit there and say, wow, what would I have done if I'd had that kind of a jump? But you know what? At the end of the day, I'm here. So I think when you really start to think about things like that, one, you're not there, they're not there, so it's irrelevant, right? You can't really be talking about, well, how to be $5 million if you're not there. Focus on where you're at right now. So whatever card you got dealt with, focus on that. So just kind of move with that. And obviously, if you have $1 million, you can do a lot bigger things, but you can also make a lot bigger screw-ups, right? So it's always easier to start with a jump, 1,000%. Come on, guys. That's just life, right?
That's just something I wanted to convey to people so they understand, because it's like a lot of hype culture where he would say things like, this is how you make money to get to X amount, but like he hasn't been there. You know, like thrifting or some stupid shit like that. Mm-hmm. We've actually had, I read both his books and like I put it into action, and I've seen that this is not the way. You know, it's just his what he thinks could have got him to $5 million. You know what I mean? Versus actual process to $1 million. You know what I mean? Do you think it's important as a young entrepreneur to have a nice car?
So I'm gonna tell you something. My answer is gonna be skewed, right? I've loved nice cars since I was 15 years old. And so I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm always gonna strive to have the nice car. I don't give 2 cents. I love cars. So I can't even tell you if it's important as an entrepreneur. For me, it's a priority.
Yeah.
Right? At the end of the day, like for me, I'm like, if you would ask me back then, do you want a girlfriend or a nice car? I'm going for a nice car. So, you know, I really love vehicles and I'm a car buff, you know what I mean? Since I was a little child, I love cars. And so, yeah, I think it's important to always have a nice car. I think as a man, it doesn't have to be extravagant, but I think you need to have a nice car so you can take pride in it, polish it, clean it, work on it, tinker on it. So I'm a fuck yes on that one. You know, you got to have a nice car. Absolutely. Yeah.
What is like having a nice car? Like, how does it affect your personality?
I think it affects it huge. I think for me, I look at myself when I was in high school. High school has not changed for me at all. I had the baddest cars in high school. I still have got the baddest cars in life. It just gives you a different step. I mean, I remember driving my mom working so hard and I had to work hard and I'm coming in there in my Camaro or my Mustang, you know, all tricked out. And I drive up to that parking lot and I just stood out. When I got out that car, it was a different kind of walk. You know what I mean? So it just made you feel different. I think that's why one of the things that pisses me off when you see all these families having multiple kids and these kids don't have the shoes or can't get the car. It just fucking sucks. It's stupid shit to me. Look, for me, I believe like, you know what? I want my boys to roll out there and I don't care. They might jump out of Lambos for all I know. I don't know yet. You know what I mean? That's my decision. But I want them to have a step. When they step out there, they're humble. They're good to people. They're not like, hey, I'm better than you. I don't like that kind of shit. No, you never seen that with me. Like me, you're going to see what I do, but I'm never going to be like, I'm better than you. That's just not my personality. I think it's more of a motivator, but I think you get out of that car, you have a different kind of step. I mean, come on, guys, you go down the road and you got CarPlay and you're feeling good and you're seeing that leather seat. You know, when I'm going down the street in the fucking G-Wagon, I feel a little different. So, you know what I mean? I'm in the Lamborghini a little different. When you're driving long distance in the Bentley, it's a little different, right? So
yeah,
I'm going to say yes.
I'm not this isn't going to make sense, but just make as much sense of it as you can. As an entrepreneur, what do you look for in a woman to make a wife? And as a woman knowingly getting into a relationship with an entrepreneur, what should she be ready to deal with?
You know, we talked about the snowflakes, right? We talked about what alphas in this. I believe for me, an entrepreneur, what they're looking for is peace. They're looking for a good woman that doesn't cause problems. You're looking for peace. I think when you find somebody who's very peaceful in your life and they're there to support. What a woman's got to be, one thing I got to see my mom do, my dad worked at the laboratories, right? And my dad had crazy hours. He had to drive 2 hours one way, 2 hours back. Sometimes he was gone 14 hours. She had breakfast ready. She had dinner ready. And my mother was an entrepreneur. My mom owned a flower shop. But she never lost sight of what a woman needs to do. It's like the man protecting what I've talked about in life, right? But when you get involved with an entrepreneur, you're going to lose time. So you can't be out there in your feelings. Oh, he doesn't love me. He doesn't got this. Because you have to make a decision. Do I want an animal out there? Do I want an alpha who's winning and can really bring it for the family? Or do I want a little lap dog at home? Right? Can't have both. So I think the big thing in people, women got to know is that, you know what? It's going to be time. That guy's going to work. There's going to be late hours. There's going to be late nights. And you're going to have dinner ready and you're going to do that. And then he's going to go back to his computer or you never know. He might be an electrician. He might be doing something. Like at the end of the day, it's like construction guys where you're like this last 2 days, those 2 days of warmth, you would have had to work 18 hours for all the days you're not doing that. Imagine if you're doing outside tile. Can't put it on the cold. So you would have to take advantage of those 2 days. So if I was those guys out, I'd put 18 hours that day to get as much as I could get done to feed my family. So it's really using common sense and being supportive. And at the end of the day, that's what it really takes. And I think that's what's been fucking lost in this society is that, you know, we're out here looking at stupidity, but literally if you got that support in your life, you're going to be 10 times successful. That's why I always tell people, like from my perspective, if you're a young fucking dude, don't get any relationships. I'm saying like, that's a one corner of me. People will be pissed off at this one. But if you're really coming up, I think to you're about 27 years old, you need to really start thinking what you're doing because it's going to be tough. Unless you find that gem that comes in and that girl's like, I'm going to build it with you. You know what? I didn't see a lot of that shit out there, but I think it could happen. But you know what? At the end of the day, you got that. You're going to be fucking killing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What advice would you give to like young entrepreneurs to stay disciplined, like maintain discipline?
I love this. Forget the motivation bullshit. Discipline. It's literally what you do every single day. So I'm going to tell you right now, this is the problem. No staying up late. I think I told you guys last time, I'm trying to adopt what Mark Wahlberg does, right? And I was like, Mark Wahlberg. And I was like, holy fuck, could I do it? But he goes to bed like at 7:30 and then gets up at 3:30. But it's, I posted one day, I got here at like 5:50, so it was like 4:45 in the morning. And what I accomplished by 11 o'clock was next level. As an entrepreneur, it's really sleeping, no fucking drugs, no drinking, none of that stupidity, no outside noise, literally focusing on the discipline, like down to what time you brush your teeth, what time you start the coffee pot, what time you take a shower, how you put your clothes, how you wash them. You know, one of the stupidest things that I watch with guys, I say, let me see how these fuckers wash clothes. They throw them in the laundry. It's all in there. When I come back, it's all fucked up in the dryer. And I'm like, that's a fucked up mind. It goes from the washer to the dryer to the hanger. That's how it should be.
Yeah.
It's very systematic. So that you create systems in life. Create finite systems, how you take notes, how you do things, and you're going to master it. I don't know what's taught in the schools now, but one of the things that I used to do, I had phenomenal teachers in high school and even in elementary. I'm a firm believer. I just bought this little device. I forgot the name of it right now. But I like to commit shit to paper, right? I don't even like putting notes. And it doesn't work in my head. And it's been proven, right? So I'm a firm believer. I used to carry a binder and I lay out my tasks or what I needed to do, even like, okay, I got to study this. I got to get this done. I write my task down and then I say, did I accomplish it? And then setting that goal, saying, okay, I'm going to get this done. Here it is. Like I'm training with a guy, Mr. New Mexico. He's been like a 7-time champ, Mr. New Mexico. Came out to write the diet and he said, download my fitness pal. That doesn't work for me. I said, I need an example of a fucking diet. Mm-hmm. Once he wrote down the diet and he's like, I want you to do 3 days of 75 net carbs. And I got an example and I can compare. I can be like, okay, we said asparagus. Well, I know asparagus is not a fucking piece of bread. Mm-hmm. So I'm able to tweak it by looking at it. So another big piece is really stopping things in time and space. Can you build a great deal without architectural drawings? Really commit it to paper so you can stop it in time and space and then you can tweak it. Like when you send me quick text, you're like, are we going to do this? And I'm like, no, fucking slick. I didn't say Wednesday, I got this. And I said, okay, Fridays. Because I know between 10:30 and 12:30, I'm going to have no distractions besides, you know, my attack dogs when they came in smelling all that bullshit, right? You know what I mean? But you see what I'm trying to tell you?
Yeah, yeah.
But you have to know what it is and then know your cadence. Like, what are you? And when people are like, I'm a night person, well, then lose that fucking habit because that's no such thing. Mm. Highly successful individuals, the stock market opens up at what time?
What, like 7?
6 a.m. for us.
6 a.m. Yeah.
You see what I'm trying to tell you? Mm-hmm. So if you're over there sleepy poo,
yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, you're not going to get to it. You're not going to get to the money. The money's already moving.
If it's hot as fuck here in New Mexico and you got to cut the grass, are you going to cut it out in the sun so you get sunburned? Now you're dealing with other shit. Mm. You're going to get done early.
Yeah.
You see what I'm trying to tell you?
Yeah.
That's that common sense. So yeah, build, sit down and really map out your day and say, you know what? And what I do is I cut a lot of bullshit out. Like, people, hey, can you meet about this? You want to do this? You want this? No. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. This is what I tell people. In the media world, if you're not part of K9, don't even contact me. I can't waste time, right? In the banking world, if you're not U.S. Bank, the big Hillcrest Bank, the New York Bank, don't contact me, right? I don't got time for that. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to sell me some bullshit thing, I don't got time for that. I'm at the level 20 years in the game. I know exactly what I need. I know exactly what I got to work at, and that's what I stick to. So don't entertain stupidity and bring bullshit back. Do one or two tasks a day. And master them, get them done. When you commit shit to your mind and don't write it down, it stays in there. You can't sleep. It doesn't work well. It's been proven. So write your shit down and say, okay, I'm gonna get this, and that, and then you're done.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I remember you saying you accomplish like 3 monster tasks a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's other programs where they say like 5. So how do you kind of figure out your capacity?
So let me tell you this. best thing ever. I don't even think it's available. There's a school called Franklin Covey, and they taught you about the first thing they taught you in that school. You actually went to a school, right? And it was a 1 or day, two day class. And there's a philosophy about big rocks and small rocks that I don't know if you guys ever did this in chemistry or physics or science class, but if you put in all the small rocks and then you put in the big rocks, the glass, you won't be able to fit the big rocks. But if you put the big rocks first and then put the small shit, it all fits in the glass. So accomplish the big tasks. And so what I do is I take all my tasks and write them the front down, right? And then I apply A, B, and C. But you still can have three A's, only up to three. A1, A2, A3, B1, B2, B3. So you know that in that day, give you a perfect example. Let's break it down simple, right? The water's leaking behind harmonics. That's a fucking A1. Wheel's going to go up. It freezes. We got a disaster. I got to solve that. So I send that, and then I put it in pending. Like, I literally go into pending, and I say, I'm going to come back to this shit.
Yeah.
Right? And I come down, and I'll send an email, and then I follow up. So I put my task, what my next tax action was, is that pending? Did I hand it off to somebody? What's ample time to follow up with them? So then you go here and you say, okay, boom, I need to follow up with this fucker at this time. Then that's when I go to my Microsoft calendar, and I love that. So I write, go to Microsoft calendar, and say, I need to call them at 3 o'clock today. If they don't call me by 3 o'clock, then my alarm goes off, I'm calling them. Hey, what's up, the status on this shit?
Yes.
Do you see what I'm trying to say? Then you move it to the next day. So whatever tasks you didn't accomplish, you move them more to the next day. That's why I love planners. I think planners are the greatest inventions ever. I really think you go down to Office Max, you buy an old school planner, it will make you successful as hell. And I break my tasks between personal and business tasks. So when you ask me, I try to accomplish 3 business, 2 personal a day. So it kind of does come out to the 5.
Oh, interesting. Okay, yeah. I was just reading some research where they said like the max number of tasks to be consistent is 5.
I know for me, I'm accomplishing 3 monster tasks.
2 personal. So
and then I'm doing 2 personal, but like my shit's pretty complex, right? Sometimes
yeah.
One task could take 2 days.
Fuck, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, building all this shit.
Yeah. More questions?
No, good.
That's
shit.
What I like to hear.
That's good shit.
Nobody get nervous.